Professor Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Season 13, episode 8. No clanging of plates, no dodgy internet, no dodgy mics. Yeah.
I didn't listen, to be honest with you.
It's probably wise. It didn't go well. And do you know what? I was kicking myself afterwards because I forgot, although I didn't take my Mac, my son had a Mac. I had an external microphone that didn't fit the my iPod Pro, so I could have done it a bit more professionally. It wouldn't have stopped the clanging because there was a party going on. But do you know what? They do say something's better than nothing. I'm not sure that applied to last week, so apologies.
Well, it's going to apply to this week as well.
Well, it's the oldens. It's an old person takeover.
Absolutely.
50-somethings. Although, if I'm 60, as you said the other week, that must make
I didn't 61. Say it. It wasn't me who said it. We don't know who said it.
Yeah, we don't know. Do you know?
Do I know?
Yeah.
I haven't had that information passed on to me. But then I haven't pressed it. But I did see it, and I found it highly amusing. Yeah.
Anyway, John, where are you?
And your picture, it's so old.
I know. Whoever got that from the internet. So you don't know me. Where are you? What are you doing, John?
I'm at home talking to yous, doing a podcast.
Yeah. I've come back from Spain, and it's hotter here than it is in Spain. It's like 29, 30 degrees here in Blighty today.
Yeah, it was 34 in the van when I got in there today.
So yeah, this is a takeover of 50-something season ticket holders. No Nigel tonight. He's in Plymouth at the moment, and he's about to fly to Japan.
He's big in Japan.
Big in Japan. I don't know what Shedman's doing in Japan. I didn't even know he had a passport, but he's off to Japan. So I'm sure we hear all about that. Plymouth to Japan. What a jet setter. And he has a go at me. No Canning Town Len tonight. He's busy. Like last week, but hopefully we're getting back next week. And we were hoping to get your son, George, but this heat's not being fair to his young children, is it?
Yeah, it's the time of day we're trying to do this, and he's currently running around his garden chasing his children. So,
right, let's manage your expectations early. Number one, they ain't going to be any question time. We don't like question time, so we're not going to do one. Number two, this ain't going to be a two-hour podcast, right? It's going to be half an hour at the shortest.
Factual.
It's going to be between 30 and 40 minutes max, right? So just manage your expectations. Yeah, I know. Sorry. 40 minutes max, I said.
Okay.
If we go to 45, just cut me off. We were top of the league. I say we were top of the league, John.
We were.
We've been it twice.
I know.
Well, it's a bit disappointing.
Heady days.
As we recall today, we are fourth. I didn't know that.
Disappointing.
That Liverpool.
Moyes out.
Moyes out. I don't know. I didn't know that Liverpool jumped ahead of us. But the way I like to see it is we've got 10 points. We're 30 points from safety.
Yes.
And we're joint second, actually.
Well, I mean,
on points.
You consider the season we had last year. To be sat here with 10 points is
crazy.
It sort of smacks of having a half decent season now, doesn't it? Without real pressure on, hopefully.
We'll come to this later of what Karen Brady said about David Moyes, which I'm sure you heard.
Brady out.
I'll play the little clip at the end as a little bonus for the lack of content.
Do you have to, really?
Yeah, I do. After the theme tune. Sing the theme tune. You won't even have to listen to it. You don't listen to this back, so there's no way you're going to ever listen to it.
All right.
Anyway, we are here not to talk about Karen Brady, and this is where you go...
Brady out.
Yeah. Yep. we are here to talk about football. We had another game of football against Luton Town as our team, as our fans sung, "We can see you in the bath." You see that?
I did see that. Yeah, so walking through the
First people to play at Kenilworth Road in the Premier League. I was a little bit apprehensive, and I thought of you, John, because I thought, here we go. We've got a team who doesn't like possession of the ball playing us who don't like possession of the ball. So, you know, was the ball just going to sit there in open play for most of the game? But actually, being it was a home game, Luton Town gave us the ball.
Yeah.
Will we know what to do with it?
We took control of the game, didn't we, really?
We did. So we had no choice, really. Otherwise, it would have just been, no, you have the ball. No, you have the ball.
But, you know, I mean, I know it was... I kind of thought it would... Well, it could have been a draw because, you know, the way it all panned out. But overall, we didn't really feel threatened for most of the game. We were in control of the game mostly. And
the goal was coming, wasn't it? I know, obviously, yes. Bowen scored on 37 minutes, but I don't think they had a single shot on target.
We controlled the ball. We run the tempo of the game. They had a couple of sort of breakaways, but they didn't really threaten the target. I mean, Areola basically didn't do hardly anything. Picked the ball out of the net once and...
Well, that's it. I'm just looking at the stats. A good time for the stat attack, nice and early. They had 16 shots, but only one on target. So that's got to be the one that went in the goal. We had 9 shots, 3 on target, 2 of which went in the goal. We had a heady 62% possession, their 38. We made 609 passes to their 366. Our pass accuracy was 83 to their 72. We committed 13 fouls to their 8. And we had 6 corners to their 9, a lot of corners. It's a lot of passing. The boys must be exhausted, John.
Well, it kind of just shows you they've got it in them, you know. So we have the ability to pass the ball. And, you know, the performance was, like you said, it was a banana skin waiting to happen, wasn't it? It was that they were up for it. It was their first game back at Kenilworth Road. And in the Premier League, and it was, you know, this amazing atmosphere was going to be created. And I mean, I've seen some of the comments from people that were there saying how the atmosphere was really great. Some of the chanting was abusive, but, you know, let's not go on our high horse
on our their side. I heard that.
Yeah, but let's not get on our high horses about that. Because,
no, let's not.
You know, so you know. I think the TV didn't really cover it or put it across how the atmosphere was, because it didn't seem that amazing when I was watching the game on the TV.
Well, since there's only two of us, take us through it. Walk us through the game. To the goal, obviously Zuma's goal, and then the finishing.
What I can remember, like we took control of the ball early on. We kept possession well. We threatened more than they did. Pakatar was very busy, throwing himself about. Did he get booked again? I can't sure.
He didn't. We had one booking each, and it wasn't Pakatar. I'm trying to remember who it was who got booked.
But he again looked really good, really up for it.
Yeah.
His delivery.
Alvarez looked amazing.
Yeah, his delivery for Bowen was sublime, and Bowen's finish was a good finish, low down, and the keeper palmed it in, so the keeper didn't cover himself in glory. Yeah. Bowen turned away, put his finger to his mouth, telling them all shut up for chanting about his missus.
Yeah.
Alvarez.
What were they saying about his missus?
I can't remember, Sean. Do you want to tell us, everyone, what they were singing?
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
No. Saying that she was a loose woman.
Oh, how rude. How rude.
Alvarez, like you said, he's looking good. I
heard a statement, and I'm going to repeat the statement. You tell me if it's true. We sold the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League for 105 million, and we've bought the best defensive midfielder to be for 35 million.
Well, is that true?
No, I don't know.
I can't tell you if that's true.
That's a statement that was on social media.
That's going a bit early, isn't it?
It's probably going a bit early. But you know what? And I know people said this a few weeks ago, but are we playing better without Declan Rice, John?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we played better on Friday against Luton. I mean, you can't escape the fact that how pissed off I was, even though we won with that game, the previous game.
Yeah.
Against Brighton, I appreciate the results are superb and our manager's won a trophy and all of this, but I support West Ham because you dragged me up there when we were 11, 12 years old. We were watching like Devonshires and the Brookings, and you know, I was sold the West Ham way of football. There's songs about the West Ham way, there's podcasts, there's a way that we enjoy to watch football, knowing full well that we don't win the Premier League, and we get our entertainment out of watching entertaining football.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree.
So, and that's why that first half against Brighton, even though we went 1-0 up, I think was one of the worst performances I'd seen. Now, the second half, I mean, the finishing, the counter-attacks, were of such a high level, there's no arguing about it. But are we looking better now that Rice has gone? We look different, I would say. And I think we've got the potential to be a little bit more fluid and a little bit more attacking. I mean, Ward-Prowse is
just
been incredible.
I know your son Emerson was the only one to get a yellow card, by the way.
I mean, his disallowed goal was right on the cusp.
Probably was the right decision, wasn't it? I mean, we're about to move on to the obviously James Ward-Prowse disallowed, it wasn't a James Ward-Prowse disallowed, but the handball that was never was. But when you saw the line, it was very marginal, but it probably was offside. Emerson's, wasn't
it? Yeah, I don't know. It's so difficult. The way they show you it again on the TV, I mean, if you watched the other game yesterday, the Arsenal-Man United game, the way the lines and the way they show you, it's so debatable that it should be clear as day. It should all be properly. And maybe it is. Maybe it's the way they show you it on the telly. But, I mean, it was slightly, it did look slightly in front, but it was disappointing because it was a good finish. But, then we scored the second from a great delivery again from James
Ward-Prowse header. I mean, this guy, how many assists that in his first three games?
I mean, he's got one goal and like three assists or four assists.
No, not bad, is it?
It's not bad.
I mean,
there was
a few people questioning James Ward-Prowse. I always wanted James Ward-Prowse. And every Southampton fan I know say he's just cracking off the field, on the field. You know, he's got that free. We haven't even seen his free kicks yet.
No, that's something it surprises me actually, because that if I was got a player like him in your team, I would be saying to the Benrahmas of my team, saying, look, right, once you get to the box, run across the box and draw the foul. Type bring the players out and draw, But there doesn't seem to be any looking for fouls in that vicinity. Yeah. Knowing full well, so we got him.
Oh, I can't wait for him to score another one and equal David Beckham's Premier League, and then beat it and become the. I think he's on 17. If he gets to 18, he draws level with David Beckham, his hero. And if he gets 19, he's the record holder of free kick. Anyway, let's get back to the game. Kurt Zouma. What a cap. Zuma, the cat kicker. What a captain he is. I mean, he's
Again, I like the way he took it to their fans because they were giving him grief as well.
You know, if you asked me last season who I think should be captain, well, you asked all of us, I don't think we'd be going, Zuma. I mean, it's just, I would have probably argued everyone else, but he seems to deal with it quite well and he seems to be a leader and, you know, I'd be really disappointed if he doesn't get it permanently. It hasn't been announced yet, but I assume it'll be very hard not to give it to him now. Yeah, I know James Ward-Prowse is a captain. It seems slightly harsh to give it James Ward-Prowse, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't see why they would change it now. But the only reason would be is if you know he's a bit injury prone, so if he loses it on that basis. It's the same thing with Souček. Some of us talk about Souček getting it.
Yeah. But, well, Souček, he signed a new... here's what I think. I don't think Souček's getting back in the team anytime.
Well, that was what I was going to say. Is like, you know, after a performance like that, Alvarez, and you know, who does he replace? Who does he come back into?
I don't think Souček gets. I think Souček will be played in the Europa League games, and he won't get back into. Talking of that, the deadline went past 11 o'clock today. I hope you got your tickets, John.
I didn't. No.
Oh.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you think everyone did? Because I was kind of thinking that if I come, I'd rather come down with you lot.
Yeah, sorry. We should have... We were talking about it on the West Ham season ticket group. Like, George Murphy and Mark Murphy have got theirs. I got mine today.
I just thought I'd rather come down there than sit in the gods and, you know... But yeah, we'll talk about that later over the time.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to them... You know. Anyway, more of that later. Zuma, another good header. Hasn't he got the second most headed goals in the Premier League, I read, or something?
Oh, I haven't seen that stat.
He scored 12. I don't know if you know this, but he scored 12 Premier League goals, 10 of them from his head. And that's it. He's got the highest proportion out of all... This is the stat. Out of all people that have scored over 10 goals in the Premier League, he's got the highest proportion from his head. Right. What a stat to get.
Well, there you go.
But that's great. And why it's great is, you know, James Ward-Prowse. You know, we talked about Slabhead being the target man for James Ward-Prowse. Well, it's Zuma, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you just... I mean, there is a large proportion of targets when we get a set piece now. You know, we've got a big, tall, strong team. So, but then they weren't very present.
We've got Dinos to come. He's a big lad.
Well, they weren't very present when they...
Is it Mavropanos?
Dino Mavropanos.
Mavropanos, that's it.
But they weren't very present when they scored their goal, were they, Sean?
No.
They were sort of split between a Gerd and...
I didn't think Agurd played that great a game. And I think we could find him being dropped soon. Let's talk about the James Ward-Prowse handball. Let's start with what do you make? You've seen the replays. We've seen the...
I don't know what's handball anymore. I really don't know. I mean, if I was a Luton Town fan, I would have wanted that given. So, you know. Why it wasn't, I don't know. I don't know what it changes so much. It's just, you know, but in the round, you can look at it and say, look, we've had so many bad decisions from VAR to not.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dermot, I mean, Finlay was determined. We were in Fingarola in O'Sullivan Sports Bar, which I'll tell you in a minute, met some hammers there. He was determined it was not a penalty. I thought it was a penalty. He was saying it was not a natural position. This is what Dermot Gallagher said. He said, this is one that shows us how handball law is at the moment. It could go either way. And the reason I say that is I sat with another former Premier League referee yesterday and we both looked at it. He said no and I said yes. That's him talking on Sky Sports. I worked on the basis that it's come a long way. He's seen it. It struck his arm. His arm is up at shoulder height. His argument was it came over the defender's head. He's looking away. And I think the dilemma you've got is in those situations, you are really relying on the referee to give it. So because the referee didn't give it, yeah, he didn't give it at the time, did he?
No.
You only do a clear and obvious error. If he'd given it, it probably would have stayed that way.
Right.
So he said, well, you know, two professional referees watching the replay couldn't agree. And it's all intent. And how can you decide intent, you know? Is his arm natural or unnatural? Was he unsighted? You know, you can see it both ways. So you're never going to get an argument here. I did like Paddy Power suggesting it was big club biased.
Yeah.
There was a few people saying, oh, Luton fans, oh, it's big club biased. Well, we've finally made it, have we, if we're big club biased? But, you know, you've seen them go against us. So I think it would have been unfair if they had have drawn after all the effort we put in and we only drew that. I mean, I'm sure they would have been delighted, but I think it was a fair result in the end.
No, I think we deserved the win, but, you know, we were quite lucky in the end to not get a draw. But, you know, we also saw, you know, it was good to see Kudos have a good run out, wasn't it?
Well,
to show us his quality.
Well, of course, my son, Finley, called this. He said, I bet he brings him on with 5 minutes injury time to go. And he pointed out to us in our WhatsApp group, that's exactly what happened. You know, in the 91st minute, he was brought on. They paid 5 minutes of extra time and they actually went to 96. So he was spot on that. He's very predictable, isn't he?
It's just like, come on.
Did you hear he asked Tim Steiden for his personal guarantee that
Paquetá won't get
it. You know.
But I think that's on the basis that, you know, this time next year, Paquetá won't be playing for us. So.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, if we take the 85 million, then...
What's happened with his charge things? Well, all just gone,
I mean,
being investigated
it has
and gone
to be
quiet.
Proved. So the FA has not proved and given any evidence to Paquetá's legal team or representatives. They haven't called him and they're saying, well, it's a bit, you know, why did you brief the press on this when you've got no evidence? The situation is this, John, right?
Yeah, but it's gone in our favour because he would be playing for City.
He would have been, yeah. So before people sort of blame Betway and whistleblowers, this is all automated, right? The automated system, and it recently came up with a Europa League game that they've been betting on. The monitoring system is electronic. So when they see a pattern, it automatically flags to both the bookies and an independent body who then notify FIFA. Then FIFA notified the FA and the Premier League. So there's no whistleblower, you know, suggesting Sullivan or Betway, and it was all a bit of a con to stop the thing going through. The thing that finally triggered it, because there was one under investigation, was the Bournemouth one, interestingly, in the first game of the season. And maybe the FA thought, we're duty-bound if there's a transfer to let this out in the public domain. But the Mail got it hold of it somehow, and we don't know how. The situation is this, right? They have got in Paquetá Island that some individuals we don't know if they're relatives, some individuals in Paquetá Island where he grew up opened some Betway accounts. The reason it's probably Betway is there's no minimum, the maximum bet. 500,000 is the maximum payout per bet. And 100,000 is the maximum deposit when you open up. So it allows you to do quite big bets. I don't know how much the bets were. But obviously there was betting on the yellow card and another one. There's four or three games in. Now, the real problem is they have to prove collusion. And I mean, not just unless he confesses and goes, yeah, I colluded with relatives or friends of mine to do it, and I spoke to them. They've got to prove it, right? And under international law, unless they can find a screenshot or have a tape recording of a telephone conversation,
or someone comes forward,
or a witness, it's really hard to prove, right? Really hard to prove. And this is what happened with the Arsenal. The Arsenal case, and I forget the guy's name, took 16 months investigation. In the end, they dropped the case because they could provide no evidence.
Right.
And from what we hear, he's strenuously denying it, and they will have to prove evidence.
Well, it's not affecting his performances, which is
so
good.
So having some kind of betting monitoring to say that there's suspicious betting means nothing. I've been told by my contacts close to the FA that they deal with tens of these requests, if not over 100 requests at any one time. Over 100 players have been investigated for suspicious betting patterns in the Premier League. And 99% of them come to nothing. Now, people pointing to the Brentford striker, Tony, is a completely different story, right? The guy used his own betting account, right? It's a completely different story. We're not people going, oh, yeah, you know, Pakatar's going to be banned for 9 months. Hang on a minute. He used his own bank account, his own betting account. I mean, how stupid can you get?
Well, right? There's
nothing suggests any involvement in the actual betting.
But in essence, the Pakatar thing is worse because it's kind of fixing. So
it's alleged fixing.
Yeah, it's an, yeah. And so and if it can be like proven,
can it be proven?
Yeah, that's it. And if it can be proven.
It can't be proven.
Well, then that's that then.
And that's that. I think you might find that actually we get to that summer, it's still not concluded, John. You might find he's here next. You know, that investigation's still dragging on and we get him for another year. So I think we're the winners.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, we are the winners.
Not a bad thing.
Because he's not, his attitude, his performances have been...
It's cracking.
Been great, yeah.
What did you think of Ross Barkley?
I didn't think anything of Ross Barkley. I thought it was just sort of didn't
he's
impose
gone,
himself
his
in anything.
Days are gone.
What do you think about us not buying a striker? Because obviously the transfer window closed.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
That evening.
Just one other one. Reece Burke. Did you notice Reece Burke playing?
I did notice Reece Burke, yeah.
Yeah, I
thought he looked all right.
Yeah.
I always quite liked him. I always thought he could perform at a high level.
Look, I think we tried everything we could to get a striker. You know, should Tim have flown out to Brazil to get Alberto? I don't know, but I don't think they were keen from the start. You know, PSG, Juventus, I don't think really want to let their strikers go. And this is always the problem, right? Everybody wants a good striker and no one wants to pay over the odds. But my senior source said, great window, just disappointing we didn't get a forward.
Yeah, I think most people were.
But I don't think that's what not want of trying. I just think it didn't work out.
It'd be nice to see him give Obama more of a go and, you know, see if he can develop, but it's not likely.
You know, he's still bought on Ings.
But Ings turned down the opportunity to move, is that correct?
He did, yeah. Yeah.
Is that a wages thing or because of what?
I don't know, really.
Who wanted him?
Everton, I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the other story. I mean, I guess we've sort of done
the game.
The game. So, you know, we kept all our...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Players. I mean, obviously we let Rice go for 100 million, and yes, Gamaka wanted to leave, so we couldn't hold on to him. Vlasic wasn't ever in our minds anyway, and really hadn't been in the squad, so no loss there. And obviously, Lanzini didn't want to sign a new contract, and he wanted to go River Plate, and he was a sort of fringe player anyway. So we lost two players, right? Really.
Well,
but look what at were they?
How do you put that down? We lost two players.
Scamacca we lost was Rice and Scamacca.
Yeah, and Lanzini.
Lanzini really wasn't a league player.
He was part of the squad. The numbers in the squad.
80 grand a week. I mean, he didn't want to sign a contract with us. Let's call it two and a half. Let's be kind and say we lost 2.5 players.
You can't complain about replacements, but what I would say, it would have been really nice to have a striker. But then in some respects, I'm kind of glad he didn't get a striker because it can't ruin another one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we kept, obviously, Fornals. We kept Antonio, who definitely wanted to leave. We kept Ings. We kept Cresswell, who wanted to leave and went on strike. We kept Ben Johnson, who...
But a lot of these... Ben Johnson's contract's running out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fornell's contract's coming to an end. There's no year left, but so he's going to
walk. We've got these people in our squad at the end, and we couldn't find replacements. We kept Kehrer, who was linked to go to Bayern Munich. We kept Zuma, who was apparently going to go to Saudi Arabia. We kept Agüero, who'd also been linked with someone. I can't remember who. We kept Bowen, who was linked with a move to Liverpool. Who wasn't linked departing? I'm trying to think. Oh, Benrahma was linked in an exit.
Should let him go.
So, and I've said Cornet. Most of our squad, if you read the media, most of them wanted out. But we kept all of them except 2.5. Which is not bad. And the other thing, just to do a bit of a transfer roundup, because this is our first one since the transfer. Our net spend was minus 17 million. So we received 17 million pound more than we spent. So we received 129 million. I'm just going to break that down in a minute. And we spent 112 million outbound. And I'm just, without add-ons, because I know Nigel doesn't like it, Rice, 100 million. Scamacca, 21.5. Vlasic, 7.5. So that gets you to 129 million. Inbound, again, without add-ons. Ward-Prowse, 27. Alvarez, 32.5. Kudos, 35.5. And Dinos, 17 million, which takes us to 112. If we take add-ons, it comes to 141 million spend. So that's Rice, 100 plus 5 of add-ons. Scamacca was 21.5 plus 4.3 of add-ons. Vlasic was 7.75 plus 2.6 of add-ons. And you add all that together, that was 129 plus 12 million of add-ons. Inbound, Alvarez was 32. This came from a statement from Ajax, £32.8 million transfer fee with 2.6 million of add-ons. Ward-Prowse, £27 million plus 3 million of add-ons. Dinos, £17.1 million transfer fee plus 4.3 of add-ons. And Kudos, £37 million plus 2.6 of add-ons. And not forgetting Sean Moore, our little person to, in the development team, our first signing, 100,000 up front with up to 500,000 of add-ons. Add them all together, you get 114 million of transfer fees plus 14 million of add-ons. That's 128 million, which, if you look at it with add-ons, minus 13 million with add-ons if they're all activated, which I'm sure they won't be.
What was this story about this bloke that we signed and lent straight back to?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. His name is Andy Irvine. And Andy Irvine is a Scottish midfielder that plays for an Austrian team. And this is a Tim Steiden kind of thing. We're setting up, and Man City does this a lot, and so do some of the big clubs. It's an affiliate club.
And Brighton.
So what they do is we have an agreement where we can send our players to them. Yeah, and they get, good players on loan. And we use them as a conduit to get European players on loan through them, which cuts a little bit of red tape. So they get a player and then loan them to us with an agreement, obviously, to buy if we want to. So there's nothing illegal about it. It's completely legal, and many ones do it. It just, after Brexit, sort of helps move the way. But my understanding, instead of paying...
What has Brexit got to do with it? Was it just from a work...
A lot more difficult to sign players from Europe.
Right, okay.
A lot easier if you're loaning them. Get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah? So instead of paying them a fee, we bought a player and loaned him back, probably permanently. He may never play for West Ham.
Right.
You get where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So instead of just giving them a fee and go, you're an affiliate, because affiliate clubs don't technically exist, right? We did it as a bona fide transaction. We buy a player and then loan him to him as long as they want. And he's really good, but he doesn't look really good, does he? You know, he doesn't look like he's going to slot straight into the team. So it's just a means to an end. And I think we're going to see more of these under Tim Snyder. And you know, good luck to him. You know, loving the pictures of him on his private plane, and he was fully involved in the deals. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't blame David Sullivan or David Moyes for this when we know Tim Steiden was out there doing his best to get a striker. It just didn't happen. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, we didn't get striker. We can get a free agent. I suppose that brings us on to the elephant in the room, or as we call it, Jesse Lingard. Jesse Lingard is still not fit, and therefore hasn't been offered a contract. He's convinced, he's telling people he will get a contract, but he hasn't got a lot of time. I think maybe over the international break, it's make a break. And I'll tell you the reason why. We've got to submit two squads. We've got to submit a squad to the Premier League. You could always add to the Premier League, but you've also got to submit a squad to the Europa League, or UEFA rather, for the Europa League. And that's sometime in early September, so within the next week or so. And I think he's been given a deadline to get fit by that deadline to be named in the UEFA squad.
Right.
And I'm hearing it would be a performance-related package. So, you know, big appearance bonus, big goal bonus, big assist bonus, clean sheet bonus, etc., and maybe a smaller monthly figure. So really saying to him, you know, if you think you're that special, put your money where your mouth is, you know?
Yeah.
Good luck to him, you know? I have no problem with him if he plays for the badge. Have you? Are you bitter? Are you bitter?
I'm not bitter. I mean, they're all, as old Len would say, he dislikes footballers and all that. I mean, they are... You know, they are what they are. He claimed that he got shown more love than he when he went to Forest,
yeah,
which essentially means more money.
As I said, and I'm sure you didn't listen to it, I did an interview with Paul Ross on Talksport just before the Luton game. And I said, if we're all honest, if we were offered £10 million for a year, we'd take it. Yeah. If we were a footballer and we were offered £10 million to play for a year, we would take it. It's disingenuous to suggest that we would be any different and we would be less greedy, because we would take it.
Yeah.
You only get one life, and a footballer's career is really short. So I don't blame him at all.
Well, I mean, I like to say, if he puts a shirt on, I'll support him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that brings us really to our group, if we're talking about Europa.
Yeah, yeah. So, obviously, we've got quite an easy group.
You think it's easy?
I do think it's pretty easy. I mean, certainly I'd rather be in our group. I mean, Olympiacos.
Newcastle's in the Champions League scene.
Yeah, well, they've got the group of death. So, you know, Olympiacos. I think we've played Olympiacos before, haven't we?
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up. I'm pretty sure we've beaten them.
Well, Olympiacos are going to be decent.
That's going to be naughty. If you come to the home game for that, mate. That's
they've got a ultra side, haven't they? So that'll be lively. I mean, Freiburg, decent side.
Decent, though?
Well, they're a known...
champions in Europe, John.
They're a known historical side, consistently play at this level.
I know, but, you know, considering where we've come in the last 2 years, where we've built the likes of Villarreal and, you know, Marseille, etc., do we fear anyone?
Look, you'd like to think we get out of the group, so... how things have changed since
we
beginning.
Last played, interestingly, John, you're like this. We last played Olympiacos in 1965, before both of us were born.
There you go.
29th of November 1965, we played them in UEFA European Cup Winners' Cup, where we won 4-0 at home at Upton Park, and away it was 2-2 in December. Jeff Hurst got two of the goals.
There you go.
Johnny Byrne got one. Peter Bradbrook got the other. Do you remember it? No. 27,250 were there. I'm sure Nigel will tell us he was there. But mate, you weren't born.
So the other one is Bakatopola.
So TSC. They're the Minnows, aren't
Bakatopola. Well, they're Serbian. I think they're second in their group in their
they've
table
got their
at the moment.
They've never played in Europe before. Our allocation is likely to be 225 because they're.
So what games 4, do out? What games do we miss on the away? No fans.
The German one. Right. What are they called? Freiburg.
Freiburg.
I'm just going to go head to head and see if whether we ever played them. I can't remember ever playing them in our history. So our away ban.
So is it one match away ban, is it?
One match away ban. It's a two-match away ban, but one is suspended. So if we're naughty at the Olympiacos game, we won't see the last game. Interestingly, Olympiacos, the Greek authorities, have the ability to ban away fans. And if they do that, under the agreement of UEFA... there will be no away fans at either end. So it will be home for both. So they won't be able to come to us either if they ban us.
Right.
I'm just looking up. I don't think we've ever played Freiburg. No, I'm not seeing any previous games. So, yeah, I mean... They're ones where we're not allowed to send anyone because of someone threw a cup at the final in Prague. A few people. Olympiacos could get banned. There's another game that could get moved as well. There's some other game going on in Athens, but they're naughty out there, let's be honest. And be a high alert on the London Stadium. So hopefully we don't get any more trouble. And then we've got that little small one of 200 people in Serbia. So... you know, but the home games are usual. Now you're a season ticket holder, you're back in the fold. Hopefully you come to them. One's in September, one's in October, one's in December. No, one's in September, one's in November, one's in December.
Yeah, I'll say off.
And they're cheap as chips for you.
I'm assuming
paid 90 quid, 30 quid each for mine and 10 quid each. Yours are 15, so 45 for your three games.
But I say I'd like to go somewhere else and not get the nosebleed, but yeah.
Yeah, you could. That's a good point. You could probably, you can sit where you want.
They're normally available.
You can sit next to Nigel either.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll see.
That's Europa League. I suppose that the other news story is not a lot going is takeover rumours again. It's funny.
Is there any truth in this story?
Well, it started because the Glazers have pulled out of selling Man United. Yeah. And of course, it's easy prey to then say, oh, the Saudis, the Qataris, and Sir Jim Ratcliffe are now back in for West Ham. Well, that's just speculation. There's no substance as far as I'm aware. I know people go, well, you wouldn't be aware because they'd be under non-disclosure. Well, you always say that. Secondly, I don't think they'll go for West Ham. If they can't get... No disrespect to West Ham. If you can't buy Man United, you don't go straight down to the basement bargain, you know? You go to Spurs, don't you? You know, you got their...
Well, I don't know about Spurs.
Well, you do. If you want, a top four club that regularly finishes, you'd probably buy off Daniel Levy and... what's his name? Who's in trouble at the moment?
No, I don't know about that.
You know what his name is. Insider Trading. Who owns Spurs? Apart from Daniel Levy.
I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah.
You know what I mean, though, don't you?
He's in trouble for what?
Lewis.
Joe Lewis.
Joe Lewis. He's in trouble for insider trading. He's been arrested. Apparently, allegedly, he was telling his chauffeur and other staff to buy certain shares. And he's been indicted in New York. And I tell you what, they in America, New York, they take their insider trading really seriously. Don't matter if you're a billionaire or not. So he could be doing some time. But anyway, no truth, as far as I'm aware, in this. And it's just pure speculation. Interestingly, I was told something the other day. Someone told me that someone in mergers and acquisitions have been contacted about buying some or all of David Gold's old shares. But that's not my information. My information is that, obviously, what if that's the case, why was Vanessa Gold made joint chairman? Right, there is a complicated system. 7% of the shares owned by David Gold are owned by a trust, and they could eventually be sold to help with death duties, I guess. The other 18% were owned in David Gold's name. Okay, now David Gold did clear all his other problems, but he didn't do this, and I think there's a reason for that. And the reason is he wanted his family to retain the West Ham shares. He said to in an interview with me for this podcast, and he said so in other interviews. And I think Vanessa, you know, she doesn't need the money. She owns Ann Summers, will want to, follow her father's wishes. The other situation is she would have to pay inheritance tax and capital gains tax. So, you know, if you remember what David Gold bought the shares for, his 25% was probably less than 25 million. He's got to pay 20% capital gains tax on that. But they have to pay 40 or 45% whatever inheritance tax also on his whole estate. But there's a little get around this, and it's called business relief. And it says that if there's a family business, right? So that's got to be a private company, not a listed company, which it is. And you've held the shares for over 2 years and it's sort of held in the family, which it is. Then you can forego inheritance tax if you hold the shares for a period of time. So I see the shares maybe the 7% sold to raise some money. But I see the other 18% staying in the Gold family for some time. And that's why I think Vanessa Gold has been made joint chairman. The other thing that doesn't make sense in this story that I was told by someone financial said, they're approaching the Mergers and Acquisitions Bank, is there's what's called a put and hold agreement. When Daniel Krudinski bought into West Ham, there was a put and call agreement put in the agreement. And a put and call says that the other directors have first opportunity on those shares. And it's often been reported that Daniel Krudinski has first dibs on David Sullivan's shares, which is true. And the reason is, it goes in shareholder order of who's got the most shares. Well, David Sullivan is a top shareholder. So if he sells his shares, they get offered to Daniel Kradinsky first, then Tripp Smith, then Terence Brown, then all the other way around, and Daniel Harris. Right? Now, if David Gold's shares get sold, because he's 25% shareholder, they first get offered to David Sullivan. Yeah. Then they get offered to Daniel Kradinsky. Then they get offered to Tripp Smith in that order. So they wouldn't go to open market unless all the directors turn them down. And that's called a put and hold. So, you know, talk of it going to the bank, talk of takeovers is I think, a little bit far-fetched. And I'm just going to finish by the Button Monkey, Russ Button, messaged me today and said, "Whoa, Sean, what is West Ham worth?" So I looked at it, and following, there's a called a multivariate model. Yeah, and I won't be too boring, but you take the revenue.
I don't know about that.
You take the revenue, add net assets, times it by net profit plus revenue, divide it by revenue, times it by the stadium capacity filled, and then divide it by the Wade ratio, right? You with me so far, John?
God, just tell the figure, Sean.
600 million.
Right, okay.
Now, for comparison, Daniel Kradinsky spent 168.5 for 27%, which values us at 555. Forbes value us at 850 million. SQAF have a valuation at 831. My valuation, based on the market and we're champions in Europe, is to the right buyer at the right time, the current shareholders would sell for between 800 and 1 billion. That's the price. I think someone like Tripp Smith would only sell at the 1 billion mark. But it's not true at the moment. As far as we can tell, no substance in Saudi interest, no interest from Sir Jim Ratcliffe or the Kuwaitis. There's one story that I just show it's inaccurate. So this story keeps on repeated. The reason the Kuwaitis want to buy it, or the Qataris, is they own all the land in Queen Elizabeth Park. That's not true. The land, Queen Elizabeth Park, is owned by the London
LDC,
who haven't leased much of it. It's true that outside the Queen Elizabeth, there's a number of buildings, and some of them have used the Qatari investment fund. But people keep on repeating this inaccuracy to say, we own, you know, the Qataris own the Queen Elizabeth Park land. No, they don't. It's a matter of public fact. Anyway, I broke my rule, John.
I nearly dropped off. So, yeah, that'll do us.
Is there anything else? There's nothing else in the news, is there, for now?
No, not as far as I can recall. I mean, I look forward to Kudus showing us. Everyone was very excited about the player, and I hope he...
Well, we should do a prediction. Because I'll be going to my first game. You're going to be going for your second game. I hope you're going to Man City. Yeah. After the international break, we don't know if we'll record next week. We'll see what our numbers are like. I'm sure Nigel will still be in Japan. We'll see everybody else. Anyway, let's do a prediction anyway. Manchester City. It's the decider for the title, John.
Well, let's go optimistic and go for a 1-1 draw, Sean.
Well, it's going to surprise you. But I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for a 1-0 win, John.
Oh, no, you are. Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine beating City.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
And it's currently still like a 3:00 kickoff, isn't it? So as far as I know.
I think it is. So, is that on a Saturday?
No, I think it'll be a Sunday by then, won't it?
Yeah, you wait to your first Sunday night football.
No, it is Saturday. It is Saturday.
Is it Saturday?
3 p.m. Saturday the 16th.
Yeah, because we haven't started our European campaign yet, have we?
So,
there you go. Anyway,
we'll have to meet up in a drinking hole.
We were only going to do half an hour to 40 minutes. We've given you 55 minutes of our lives. And don't worry, there is still that Karen Brady interview to come after the theme tune. So
hang on in there.
I've been Sean, and John has been
talking a lot more than I normally do.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
I've got so much time and respect for David. He is a class act, both on and off the pitch. He is so passionate about everything he does. He's so professional. I've never met a manager who works harder, who thinks more deeply, who cares so much. His ambitions are all for West Ham, and he's a joy to work with. And I was so pleased for him. It'd been a difficult Premier League season, and I know that was a disappointment for him. So to end the season with the trophy was very sweet for him and exceptional for the players. I think, you know, you only really know how good a manager is when things aren't going well. And when they start to turn things around, the ability to keep everybody together, to be focused, to go again, to be resilient, and to be, you know, so focused on the end game. He's an incredible manager.
You obviously sold Declan Rice. You didn't necessarily want to sell Declan Rice, but you got into a position, I presume, where you thought, well, if we really do get that sort of money and we can reinvest in the team, and it doesn't always go right. We saw Spurs once, all the Gareth Bale money spent on seven players didn't work out. So is there almost, you get this money together and think, now what?
Well, look, my job was to sell him. To sell him, to do the deal. It wasn't to sell him, it was to do the deal. I mean, we did not want to sell him, you're quite right. He made a decision that he wanted to go. Having made that decision, my job was to get the best possible price for him so that the club could then go back in again and make every penny of that count. And I think that's exactly what we did. It's very difficult when a player doesn't want to stay. I mean, we tried everything we could to convince him to stay. In terms of the contract, he'd been speaking to his father for about 2 years. We're trying to build a team around him. He's a special player and actually a gentleman, a very nice young man, good to have around, great captain. And it's, you know, it's a sort of unrequited love when they do when you love them, but they don't love you. And I think he did love West Ham. I think he loved West Ham a lot. But I think he took a view that he wanted to see his career outside of West Ham. And that's exactly what he was driven to do. And that's exactly what he was determined to do. And faced with that, clubs have no choice but to try and get the best possible price they can and move on.